Publishing's a tough racket. As an author, you're always having to deal with a fickle public, self-righteous literary critics, and boats, at least for Twin Cities author Will Dinsky. His new graphic novel, Fingerprints, which was slated to decorate your local comic book seller's display case sometime early September, well, it got a little delayed. Apparently, it took the slow boat from China.
It only got into stores last week. They shipped them directly from China, which is great.
Will Dinsky talks about the experience.
And in the meantime, I was just kind of waiting for it to actually hit the comic shops. And I guess they lost them somehow in the transit.
Disaster averted. The books were located and are now doing the rounds of the comic buying public and those critics.
Yeah, I was lucky in that John Geddes from USA Today took kind of a liking to it, which I think was weird because he usually writes about superhero books, but he really likes Top Shelf and Fingerprints in particular. So yeah, he gave me a really great blurb. I was able to get into the paper, which has been, it's good exposure. I don't know how that translates into sales. Apparently Fingerprints had a really good initial order for an indie book.
Dinsky's graphic novel, Fingerprints, plunges readers into the high bucks world of Hollywood plastic surgeon Dr. Fingers. His magic fingers have worked on some of Hollywood's biggest A-list celebrities. In fact, his scalpel has defined the image of American beauty in star client Vanessa Zimba, his masterpiece. A masterpiece that could still use some work. At a swank cocktail party, Dr. Fingers coaxes her into a cozy room for a little canoodling, Vanessa thinks. They draw closer. Their bodies touch. And the doctor murmurs these romantic words. I'd like to fix the angle of your nose. Here's Dinsky again.
He doesn't think of them as people. Like, they have that moment where they embrace, and in my mind, he's just doing that so that she'll agree to another surgery. You know, he doesn't have any feelings towards her one way or another. But because people are his canvas, I don't think he can think of them as people anymore. Which inevitably leads to somebody like Dr. Tatsu.
At one time, Dr. Tatsu had been Dr. Finger's assistant. Throughout the novel, you see her working rooms and media contacts to plump her own rival plastic surgery business. She may not possess her mentor's skill on the surgical table, but she sure understands the client's deep psychological need to embody perfection, even if that perfection is artificial and reproducible.
I wanted to do a story about how all good things fade. They all come to an end. I had just, you know, I had graduated from college, which I loved, and then I was working at the American Red Cross, which was not a good job for me. Like, it was just a tough job. I had a lot of time to sit around and think about stories, but I was processing blood samples, and I would just stand there in a lab coat all day and check off things and put them into centrifuges and separate platelets out from blood. And I'm just kind of working on this story. And I thought, well, I want to tell a story about how all good things fade. And I thought, who doesn't think that all good things fade? And I thought, well, a plastic surgeon would think that you could be beautiful forever. And so that was kind of where it started. I wonder now if maybe I thought that because I was wearing a lab coat, you know, and I was kind of thinking of, you know, about science and you know, and there's all this blood. I thought, like, oh, I could write that character. So it kind of started there, and I had read The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein, and it hijacked my stories, the sci-fi. Like, I have not written a sci-fi story since Fingerprints, and because of that book, everything kind of had this sci-fi quality to it for a little bit. Yeah, it's melodrama, sci-fi story, and then sort of kind of horror at the very end, kind of all thrown in there, yeah.
This is Britt Amit for KFAI.
Miniculture on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.